The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30.
To London first, to Nick Ferrari, presenter Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC Radio. Thanks for joining us, Nick. And just as a backgrounder to start, can you explain to us, please, about the new laws that came into effect in the UK last week in relation to immigrants and Rwanda?
Known as the Rwanda Plan, this is the jewel in the crown. One of the five pledges that Prime Minister Rishi Sunak gave to the British people was to stop the boats. And the idea is that upon arrival here, considerable amount of money is spent, but a number of these people, initially probably no more than 200 to 300, are flown to Rwanda, which the United Kingdom has deemed a safe third country, and their application is processed there. So they will not be coming to the United Kingdom. The most they can hope for is to be processed in Rwanda, and if it's not successful, then it's left to the Rwandan authorities to deal with them. This, Mr. Sunak and his supporters say, will be a game changer as regards what's called the migrant crossing crisis.
Why is it regarded as a game changer?
Well, because they believe that people hoping that they're going to come to the United Kingdom, although again it will almost be at random, but they do not want to end up in Rwanda. That's not where they want to go. And he would point to what's developed now between our two nations as proof that this has already started. And indeed, you might have had sight of quite a big piece in the Times newspaper in the United Kingdom on Saturday, which actually charted a number of people who had come to the United Kingdom. They were in Birmingham, they got themselves to Belfast, and then they crossed over the border. This is, they would say, Mr. Sunak and his team would say, this is proof positive that this will stop people getting in the boats.
So it's regarded as a deterrent, even if it only is applied to a few hundred people who might end up in Rwanda?
Initially a few hundred people. They say it will grow. I mean, to give you an idea, the first 3 months of this year, a fraction under 5,000 people made the crossings. That's January, February, March, which is a record for the first quarter of the year. As we speak at the moment, the numbers have come down a little, but that's because the tides and the weather, that's possibly not that. But we will see, of course, whether the plan now works. So yes, it's very much random, but if you come all this way and you get you don't get processed, you get sent off to Rwanda. That, they believe, will be the deterrent.
Even if you're a genuine refugee who is in fear of their life if they end up going back towards their place of origin?
If you can come and you can show papers and you have relatives that are somewhere within the United Kingdom and there are what are called familial or family links, then yes, you will be okay. If you are coming because you are pleading, yet you are saying that you are running away from torture or because of your faith or because of your sexuality, yes, you do face the risk of being sent to Rwanda.
You mentioned that there's been about 5,000 people have come by boats so far this year into Britain. Why aren't those boats just sent back to where they came from, such as France?
The Royal Navy won't do that because, as your listeners have probably seen, some of these vessels are pretty precarious and there's a major danger that they will capsize. And, of course, when you're at sea, the priority for the Border Force, for the British Navy, and indeed for any other seafarers, is the safety of those people. So it's thought too dangerous to turn them around. You're right, that has been proposed. Some time ago, there was even an idea of a wave-making machine. Yes, you did hear that correctly. They've spent millions on new and very large drones. They've sent £500 million to Paris over 3 years to increase border forces and border patrols that side of the water, and all has brought nothing.
Now, you mentioned a piece in the Times on Saturday. There's also been front page stories in the Daily Telegraph and the likes of Dominic Lawson writing today in the Mail about Ireland's objections to becoming what one or two of our listeners are describing as an alternative Rwanda, that the deterrent means that if people aren't going to Rwanda, that they're actually going to Ireland instead.
I hear what your listeners say. All I would say is, of course, this isn't the British government that's moving people into your country, but I get the principle that your listeners are saying. This is them doing it themselves. And why? Well, if you looked at the London Times, they spoke to a number of people, one of whom started out from Jordan, someone else who started out from Syria, and they said, we don't want to go to Rwanda. We want to stay in Europe, so we're going into Ireland. That is what's causing it. And as Dominic, as you rightly point out, the journalist, former editor Dominic Lawson points out, this is now a major European-wide problem because I would imagine that you people have issues, and I'm hearing more and reading from your Justice Minister that 80% of arrivals now from the border with Northern Ireland, they make up 80% of the arrivals.
And indeed, she also appeared in front of a committee last week, an Oireachtas committee, suggesting that there was an agreement in place with the British government to return those refugees. But my understanding is that the British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak today gave an interview to Robert Peston of ITV, effectively denying that.
Well, I've just seen that on one of our 24-hour news channels, and without wishing to be confrontational to Helen McEntee, that's precisely not what Rishi Sunak is saying. That's not the way the British government is seeing it. And from my understanding, the British will not be accepting any people back from your country.
And the implication being as well that they won't take anyone back from Ireland until the French start taking people back. Presumably, this means the people who come on boats from France, that the British government wants them to go back to France if they're not going to Rwanda or not going to Ireland.
Well, this is the pressure point, isn't it? Let's bear in mind, for your listeners, we are talking about human beings here. In some cases, who started out from Jordan or somewhere because they might be in fear because of their faith or whatever it might be. They put themselves across the whole of mainland Europe, perhaps landing in Italy, coming up through France. They then come to Dover. They then find themselves managing to get to Belfast. They go back to, let's say, Dublin, and then suddenly they find themselves back in Calais. I think this will become a Europe-wide issue now, Matt, because I think pressure will be applied from Ireland, because I think your country is in a very unfortunate position. You will have better dialogues with Brussels than the UK has at the moment, and the UK is sort of in the middle. And let's be honest with each other, they're egging this on. Mr. Sunak has local elections, so these are local councillors this Thursday, in which he's expected to take an absolute pasting. He's got a general election, all money now, it would seem to be on November. This is the sort of policy that they believe does resonate with with a core of their voter.
So does this mean that this is getting as much attention in Britain today as it's getting in Ireland, and this has been seen by the Tories as a rare victory for them?
Second lead on the bulletin as I'm talking to you now. The lead story is in Scotland and the Scotland First Minister standing down, which I'm sure is probably on your news bulletin as well. So this is a second lead story right now, the issues we're having with you, with Ireland.
Okay, and do you reckon, are there going to be difficulties in the intergovernmental relations? Because our Justice Minister, Helen McEntee, had been due to meet the UK Home Secretary, James Cleverly, today at the British-Irish Intergovernmental Conference. He cancelled last night, citing what was described as an unavoidable diary clash, which many people are wondering, really? And Helen McEntee then did not travel, leaving just our Minister for Foreign Affairs and Tánaiste, Micheál Martin. Now, the man who actually said last week, when he was in the Middle East, that a lot of the migration issues in Europe at the moment were the fault of the British Rwandan policy. How did that go down with the Tory government?
It was part of the story on the front page of the Daily Telegraph, so I think it was late last night that the cancellation. You and I both know what unavoidable diary commitments or events mean. That means that he just decided to scrub it. My reading is that we offered the Northern Ireland Minister, Chris Heaton-Harris, which is obviously not the same level as the Home Secretary. I think this is, again, game playing. They want to buy some time. I would imagine once the local elections are over, yes, of course, our Home Secretary has to start speaking with your Justice Minister or whoever you choose to put forward. But at the moment, it plays to them to play tough, to say that James Cleverly is not available, because if you're going for those votes, you want to be seen to have a talk, because you want people vote for you.
We'll leave it there. Nick Ferrari, presenter Nick Ferrari at Breakfast on LBC Radio. Thank you.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.